Do not believe that, okay? Apostles, the offices of apostles have been closed with the last apostle, Apostle Paul. And prophet, you know, I wouldn't dare to prophesy unless the Lord is really laying my heart. Good example is Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. Well, we still have a time. It can happen. He declared that he was giving word of knowledge or prophecy. President Trump will win, and there will be a two assassination attempt will happen to him. And so far, I don't see that happening.
Which part?
Huh?
Which part? Yeah.
Neither one. If he doesn't get elected, then most likely he won't be assassinated. Be careful. Please be careful the way you say. When God speaks to you, leave a room for the doubt. Okay, leave a room for the error, not doubt. That's a bad word. Say, I believe that God spoke to me instead of God told me. You know the difference? Mm-hmm. One is, I believe that God spoke to me. There's a room for an error. But some people insist that God told me. When somebody tells me that God told me to tell you and this and that, I usually don't say anything back. And they probably ask me, aren't you going to say something? I'm not going to say anything against what God said. Now I'm going to go into the side of error. I don't want to challenge that. Before we go any further, just side note. I was a board of director for the One Calvary Chapel some time ago. 10 years ago? Yeah. And the pastor got tired of being hammered by his congregation. So he told me that God told me to move to Israel. How are you going to respond to the person who says, God told me to move to Israel? So I said, okay, what do I tell him? But in my heart, and another board member, he and I talked about it, I think he didn't hear from the Lord. He thought that he heard from the Lord.
Why don't they ask for a sign?
Huh?
Why don't you be like Gideon and ask for a sign?
That's not a bad idea, actually. If
this happens, I'll do it. If this doesn't happen, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Anyway, he went to Israel. About a year later, they had to come. All entire family had to come home. Oh, no, 2 years later. And then he said, I don't know why the God does not make this happen. So I said, you asking me? He said, yes. So I said, well, I don't think God told you to go to Israel. And he said, why didn't you tell me? He said, how am I going to tell you when you tell me that God spoke to you? Am I going to challenge God? Mm-mm. From then on, guess what? He doesn't say, God told me. He's now very careful. So be careful with the prophecy or the visions or dream that you might have. If God's revealed something to you, be on the side of error. Say, I believe that God spoke to me and God showed it to me. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. And if somebody tells you, God told me, God showed it to me, then you have to take it with a grain of salt to believe that person. Okay, let's back to our teaching. So when the people saw how biblical prophecy is so accurate to the last minute details, and they assumed that someone doctored it up or it was written after the event occurred. Chapter 8 in the book of Daniel is a case in point. Liberal Bible scholars, I don't know why they call themselves a Christian. I guess they just want to have a title. Those liberal Bible scholars, whom I consider not much, due to the lack of their authenticity, argue that Book of Daniel was written after the 5th century A.D. because the history surrounding Alexander the Great and Antiochus Epiphany is extremely accurate in this chapter. So they could not imagine how anyone could write this before what happened. Would you keep your finger in chapter 8 of Daniel? I want you to turn all the way to the Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You guys know this verse by heart. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Do you see anything, any other thing after that? Do you see any other word after that? No. Okay. If God can create heaven and earth out of nothing, do you think of giving prophecy to a prophet and a follower of God is it too difficult? Or is it too difficult for God to know what's going to happen since he is now limited by the timeline? We don't know what is going to happen next minute. Correct? Any of you guys know? Rapture might happen next minute. Yay! That's when you scream all the way up to the heaven. But so they cannot imagine God knowing the future. What is so difficult about that? So they said it cannot be done when it was. Someone said the definition of a prophecy is a prediction of the future made under divine inspiration. That's a good one, isn't it? A prediction of the future made under the divine inspiration. The book of Daniel has not only the very accurate and precise history, but also contain the prophecies that come true and will come true. Tonight we are going to study not only the past event, we are going to study the future event. The argument by the Bible critics or biblical liberal scholars were demolished by two documents. Number one is Septuagint. Some people call it Septuagint. I prefer to call it Septuagint. It is a Greek version of Old Testament. It was written in the 3rd century B.C., before the existence of the Alexander the Great and Antiochus Epiphany. I'll explain about the Antiochus Epiphany a little later. Second document you should notice is the Dead Sea Scroll. Dead Sea Scroll was discovered in Qumran, Israel, between 1947 and 1956. This document dates back to the 1st century AD. In other words, there were the liberal scholars about 400 years wrong. Liberal scholars claim it's nothing more than desperate argument to reject the truth of God Almighty. Qumran is near the Dead Sea. It's talk about desolate, no nothing place. But you can find a gift shop there. Israeli people made the gift shop everywhere in the Holy Land. If you get to go to the Israel with us in 2022, we will visit this Qumran. And then after that, we're going to come down to the Dead Sea, and you might enjoy floating on the water in that sea, literally. Mm-hmm. You don't need anything other than just lie down, and you'll float on top of the water. Very, very salty. Mm-hmm. And mineral deposit, all that stuff. But you better have a good soap because you will have an oily body all over. If somebody holds you, then you'll pass by me. If you're going, make a note. You need a really good soap there. They give you about that small size of soap. Just side note, a portion from the chapter 2 to chapter 7 were written in Aramaic, the original language of Syria, and the world language of the four great empires. Okay, so when I said four empires, what are they? Four empires. Can anybody tell me?
There are the four.
Hold on, one person at a time. Why? John?
Babylonian, Persian, Greek. Well, actually, I guess the Greek and the Roman, but
Is that the four empires you're talking about? Or?
Actually, not Rome, because Rome did not speak in the Aramaic. Exactly. So it will be Babylonian, and then the Medes, and Persia, and Greece did. They spoke their own language.
Syria.
Syria. That was a common language. Okay. From chapter 8, now it's back to Hebrew language. We'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 8. Let's stop and pray. Father, some of us take the biblical prophecy as something like a crystal ball. Father, let us not have that attitude. It's not about curiosity to know the future, but it is to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, speak us tonight and give us wisdom to understand your word and understanding of your precepts and principles, that we may not do the things that displease you, but we may do everything right in your sight. As we close this year, 2020, Father, help us examine our heart and see if there is anything wicked in us, and so that we may be able to make it right with you. As we face 2021, Father, we don't know what is going to happen. Future is very uncertain, especially in light of the elections happening. And also we pray that we don't know what's going to happen to your body, Church of Jesus Christ. But we do know that you never lost control and you never will be. Father, we pray that you speak to us and anoint the one who speaks. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 1, please. In the 30th year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after the one that appeared to me first time. Verse 2. I saw in the vision, and it so happened while I was looking that I was in Shushan, the citadel, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision I was by River Ulai. Stop there, please. Like the last study, I'm not going to ask you to give me interpretation because it is what it is written. And the interpretation will be given later portions as you read before. So this time I'll just speak. Daniel received the second vision around 551 BC, and he was close to 70 years old, 3 years after the first vision. How do I know that 551? Because the king Belshazzar was, he gained the reign from 554. So 3 years after that is 551. And you may say, no, it should be 557. No, remember, it's a BC. So you subtract, not add. The real royal city of Shushan, or the Shushar, was 350 miles east of Babylon and capital city where Daniel lived at this time. It is the birthplace of the Medo-Persia Empire, and Shushan was also known as the headquarters of the Persian king Cyrus. Daniel said that he saw himself beside the River Ulai. What is the River Ulai? It is an irrigation ditch, man-made irrigation ditch that ran near the Shushan. I guess it's not just, what is that, the Colorado? The water coming down from Colorado? Mm-hmm. Is that not Colorado
Central
River.
Central Arizona Project.
Yes, thank you. Central Arizona Project, CAP. It sounds like a big, but when you look at it, it's not really that big. Probably about 25 feet wide. No, more than that. About 30 feet wide. That's it. And this river, this irrigation ditch is obviously bigger. Verse 3. Then I lifted my eyes and saw there that standing beside the river was a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no animal could withstand him, nor was there any that could deliver from his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. All right? No wonder that the Bible critics argued that this book was written in the later days because it is so accurate. This ram represents the kingdom of Medo-Persia. How do I know? The symbol of a ram can be found in several places in Persia. National emblem, coin, and hairdress of the Persian emperor. I want you to Google. I did. It came out and it looks really neat. I want you to ram with a Medo-Persia. You know, the word search in the Google, you will find, as you scroll up and down, you will see the picture of the man. Frontal face is a man. And the side has a ram's horn like this. Bible does not speak untruth. It is really neat. I'm sure that you all remember from the last chapter, Medo-Persia studying the two separate kingdoms. Being the stronger kingdom, Persia observed the Medes later. Here's how we see the ram's two horns. One is higher than the other. Go to verse 5, please. Now we see the vision of the raging goat. And as I was considering, suddenly the male goat came from the west across the surface of the whole earth. Notice, guys, without touching the ground, and the goat had the notable horn between the eyes. And he came to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing beside the river, and ran at him with a furious power. And I saw him confronting the ram. He was moved with rage against him, attacked the ram, and broke his two horns. There was no power in the ram to withstand him. But he cast him down to the ground and trampled him. There was no one that could deliver the ram from his hand. Therefore, the male goat grew very great. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken. In place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. Stop, please. This goat is representing the Greece. How do I know? Because I read the next portion of this book. Did you know that Alexander the Great had only 40,000 soldiers at his disposal? Do you know how many soldiers in the Persian kingdom?
100,000.
2 million. You are stingy, James. Next time, think bigger, okay? 2 million soldiers. They are ragtag bunches, but the Greek soldiers, they are highly trained, highly motivated, and disciplined. And they, as we just read, the goat was practically flying, not touching the ground. In other words, it was moving so fast. We already noticed that in chapter 7. In eight short years, Alexander the Great and his army conquered 1.5 million square miles. But in 323 BC, worn out by the battle wound, hardship, and too much drinking, he died at age 32. After his death, his four top generals divided the kingdom, just as the scripture prophesied. One of the four generals was Seleucus, and he took Asia and all the eastern part of the empire except Egypt. This brings up the next part of the vision. Any questions so far? Anyone don't understand? Okay, verse 9. And out of them came a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, toward the glorious land. Would you mark that word, those two words, glorious land, and put the word Israel? And it grew up to the host of heaven, and he cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host. No, I want you to notice from verse 10, and description is different. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him a daily sacrifice was taken away, and place of his sanctuary was cast down. Verse 12. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices. He cast truth down to the ground, and he did all this and prospered. Then I heard the Holy One speaking. Another Holy One said to the certain one who was speaking, how long will this division be concerning the daily sacrifice and transgression of desolation? The giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. And he said to me, for 2,300 days, then sanctuary shall be clean. Stop there, please. The Bible says that this little horn grew exceedingly great toward the east and toward the glorious land, south and glorious land, which means Israel. We can find Antiochus IV, Epiphany. Epiphany is not the last name. It's a title of their king. And he reigned over Syria and the Israel territory under Seleucid dynasty. This king came to power 175 BC, murdering his brother, who was supposed to be crown prince for the throne. By using the influence of Greek culture and idolatry, Antiochus Epiphany wanted to unify his kingdom religiously and socially. I'm quoting from the history book. Here's the one. Antiochus Epiphany's attempt to lead to the brutal suppression of Jewish worship at Jerusalem generally thought out throughout the Palestine. Antiochus' oppressive policy came to a head in December 1968 BC. At that time, he sent his general Apollonius with the 20,000 troops under the order to seize the Jerusalem on Sabbath. Then he erected an idol of Zeus and desecrated the altar by offering swine on it. That's a nice way to say the pig, right? This guy is, in my opinion, he's a psychopath. He showed all the evidence of a psychopath. And the history book continues. Can I change the slide? The Zeus idol was known to the Jews as an abomination of desolation, which served as a type of future abomination which will set up in the Jerusalem temple sanctuary to be built during the Great Tribulation. Christ predicted in Matthew 24:15. Okay, let me give you the little background. Rapture happened. We all gone. And then from that moment, the 7-year tribulation. Are you with me so far? And during that time, first 3.5 years, Antichrist will show up, and then he's going to con everybody, including the Jewish people. And he promised them that I will build a temple for you on the Temple Mount. When you go up to the Temple Mount, it's not that big. Actually, our property is bigger than Temple Mount. Much bigger. You can see it from one end to the other end. By the way, when you go to the Jerusalem and you're ready to enter into Temple Mount, ladies, do not have a cross necklace. Tuck it in. Okay? You are not supposed to carry Bible. You are not supposed to sing. You are not supposed to pray out loud. None of that is allowed. Why? Isn't Jerusalem occupied by the Israeli people? Yes. What about the Temple Mount? It is policed by two groups of people, Arab and Israeli police. Arab police cannot carry any firearms, but they're obnoxiously noisy. And then there's a group of riot police, Israeli police, and they are very agile and they are fit. None of them is the kind that have a donut belly around like some of our police officers. And they always move around in that place. In Temple Mount, we use Dome of Rock. Everybody have seen that Dome of Rock, have you not? That golden color. Until now, and I'm sure it's in the future too, many people believe that that was the place where the Solomon's Temple was located. It's not true. When you stand in front of a Dome of a Rock and look to the east, there's a Mount Olive. Mm-hmm. Only problem is you do not see the gate. When you, according to the Bible, you're supposed to see the gate and then see Mount Olive. And gate, eastern gate, is still existing. So you know where the eastern gate is, and turn around, look at toward the west. It's not a temple mount. It's not the Dome of Rock. There's a little gazebo. About 150 feet north of Dome of Rock is a little gazebo. I forgot the name. It's something to do with the peace. When you stand there, you see the eastern gate. You see the Mount Olive. Are you following me so far? Mm-hmm. Here's a Dome of Rock. And they will find, Antichrist will help them to find the location, and the document will say that this place, that little gazebo, is the right place. So he will encourage people to get along. He will say, can we not just get along? So everybody say, okie dokie. I'm sure it's not in English. And they will build a temple there. Everybody's happy, right? Until he set his own statue inside of a temple and tell Israeli people, worship me. And that's the time when the Israeli people, oh, the abomination of a desolation, this is when it's happening. Until that time, Antichrist will rub his elbow with the Israeli people. From then on, he become adversary to the Israeli people, and he will chase him down. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you get to go with us, and I will explain to you at the Temple Mount, and you will see that, oh, he didn't lie to me. You'll find out. In verse 14, we find a 2,300 days. What is this all about? Some Bible students debate if whether it's a 2,300 days or 1,150 days. In my opinion, it's a 2,300 literal days. And why do I say that? Because I'm going to explain to you. The date when the temple was cleansed and restored by Judas Maccabee. Have you ever heard that? Judas Maccabees. Mm-hmm. And the date is December 25th, 165 B.C. Mm-hmm. So if we count back 2,300 days from then, and we all the way go back to Antiochus Epiphany and began to his started persecution against Jerusalem, 171 B.C. Do you think the Bible is accurate? You can bet your life on it. Okay, extra side note, no charge. Judas Maccabee took back this Temple Mount and temple, and he cleansed it. He declared the victory and cleansed it. Do you know what that date is? Anybody know?
Hanukkah.
Huh?
Hanukkah.
Very good, sir. December 15th, Hanukkah. That's the beginning of the celebration for the Jewish people. Make sense?
I know that.
Give that guy a raise. Verse 15.
We'll give him a longer follow.
Okay, you can have a coffee on me. Then it happened when Daniel had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning, that suddenly there stood before me one having appearance of man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai. He called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Here's all interpretation by angel Gabriel. Verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. And he said to me, "Understood, son of man, that the vision referred to the time of the end." Now here's in timeline he's giving. Now as he was speaking to me, I was in deep sleep with my face on the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright. He said, "Look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the latter times of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. The ram, which you saw having two horns, they are the kings of the Media and Persia. And the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between the eyes of by eyes is the first king. As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power." Stop there again, please. Like the last chapter, 7, and Lord did not leave the interpretation to us because he didn't trust to come up with our own interpretation. For this time, he dispatched one of his angels, Gabriel, to explain it to us. This is just my guess. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I believe that this is the same Gabriel angel who showed up in the dreams and the visions of the Mary, Joseph, and Zechariah to announce the arrival of Jesus and John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. Why do I say that? There are many, many angels. We know three names of angels. Three angels. Can somebody tell me? First one.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, Michael, and
Lucifer.
Satan. Yeah. If he want us to know any other angel, who he would say it. He didn't. So I'm just guessing that this is the same Gabriel. Probably they all look alike, you know, like Oriental people. Verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise. And having fierce features, who understand the sinister scheme, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy the fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause a deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. Get that, guys. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy the many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without human means. Are you following me so far? Verse 26, and the visions of the evening and morning which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Afterward, I rose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Why is that? The angel told him to seal it. And can anybody guess?
Because they didn't understand.
Okay. That's good.
Because that judgment was all for future.
Exactly.
During the Revelation, when they finally do break the seal, mm-hmm. and open the book, mm-hmm. and everything that he has said, mm-hmm. is right there in their face.
Yep. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. No, we understand this.
Right. Yes.
We are not in tribulation. We are not going through tribulation, are we?
No.
Okay. We understand this is the timeline for future generations to understand. Am I making sense? What he said is each seal breaks and there will be a supernatural judgment. As we study this portion, we realize that some of the descriptions do not apply to Antiochus Epiphany completely. Especially the latter part of verse 25, he shall even rise against the prince the prince of princes and princes. That sure is a blatant opposition to our Lord Jesus Christ, and it sounds much like Antichrist. Here is a good description of an Antichrist. I want you to go to the Revelation chapter 19, please. Revelation chapter 19. By the way, how many of you guys finished reading Bible entire year? Okay. You guys got the Bible reading chart, right? Yes, no?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, if you don't have it, grab it from the next to the Agape box.
It's also in the Daily Bread, too.
Daily Bread?
Yeah,
yeah, it's in there, too. Yeah, that's right. I'm challenging you, all of you. Read the Bible throughout the year, every day. And you may say, oh, it takes so long. 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Can you spare 15 minutes a day? I want you to read the entire Bible. You will be a changed person. I guarantee you. No, God's word guarantees. Because he will speak to you. I designed... Hey, Mikey, would you open up that one of them? Yeah, give it to me, please. Thank you. I designed this. It's not a bragging session. You follow this, check mark each date, okay? If you follow this, you will be able to finish the entire Bible. I did this, and I guess some of the guys got hold of it. A young man and a woman got it, and they start to follow this. Now he's being a pastor because God changed his life. Him and his wife both. And you may say, well, I'm not so sure if the word of God will change my life that much. If I have to be a pastor, I'm not going to read that Bible. Well, you may not become a pastor. But wouldn't that be nice for you to say, yeah, I read the Bible from cover to cover? Do you have this? You have this? Now, you really don't have an excuse, right? Okay, verse 19. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make a war against who? Him, that is, who sat on the throne and against his army. So the description, verse 25, could not have been Antiochus. And you may say, well, how do you know? Because Antiochus was born in 216 B.C. and died 164 B.C. So this cannot be the same one as Antichrist. Another thing, can I change the slide? Another thing we should notice is that but he shall be broken without human means. We can tell the judgment was dished out not by the natural means, rather supernatural. By God. At the end of the Great Tribulation in Revelation 19, God's supernatural judgment will fall upon the Antichrist and the false prophet. Where is it? Chapter 19, verse 20. So the beast was captured. The Antichrist is captured. And with him, the false prophet. Okay, stop there for a moment, please. Our God has a Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Am I correct? Do you know there is known as unholy Trinity? Mm-hmm. Satan, Antichrist, false prophet. So Satan is acting as of God the Father, and Antichrist is acting as the God the Son, and false prophet is acting as the Holy Spirit. They are trying to match that. Satan is good at imitating, but not real. Verse 20, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with a brimstone. Stop there, please. Since we mentioned, the text mentioned the mark of the beast, I need to say this to you. Some people think that coronavirus vaccine is the mark of beast. If that is the case, are we in the time of great tribulation?
Well, if it's the case,
yes, no.
If that's the case, yes, yes, but
no. No, it's not. Coronavirus, the vaccine is not mark of the beast. If you choose, if you elect to take that vaccine, your choice. If you choose not to take it, it's your choice. Just like before, a couple of years, last year, I wasn't. I don't have a medical insurance, so everything is out of my pocket. I was at Costco, and they were selling the vaccine shot for $16.99. So I took it. This year, I chose not to, just because I don't feel like to be poked at.
Because it wasn't $16.99.
You know what? I didn't even check on the price. That's a good one.
Only $99.99.
And, you know, it is not the mark of beast. And I was reading one of our congregation's remark on in the Facebook. He was talking about the don't get this, don't get that from, it can be, it will be the mark of beast. This was not talking about the vaccine. You know, probably I could let it go, but I didn't want him to have a wrong idea. So I had to tell him. I told him, we are not in during the great tribulation time. There's before no one will receive the mark of the beast. Outside the great tribulation, nobody will. You follow me so far?
Yep.
So if the if somebody says, well, don't take the vaccine because it can be a mark of the beast, it is not. So far, mark of the beast is not existing. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if I'm tracking with you, the mark of the beast is going to come after
the rapture.
After the rapture, we're brought.
Yeah. You're a born-again Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, then you ain't gonna worry about, you don't need to worry about the mark of the beast. You ain't gonna be here.
Yeah, I was confused on this, so that's gonna come
after. After. Right on your palm. After the rapture. Okay? And look at it each time, every day, okay?
But the Antichrist has to be found first, and that's his mark. It's
yes.
His
name.
So.
That's halfway through tribulation.
We're already.
You know, if you want to stick around so you can take a look at which one is the mark of this, by all means, go for it.
Hey, Juno?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that a counterfeit copy of the mark that God puts on his people during the tribulation?
Yeah. Again, Satan always tries to imitate something.
Okay.
Okay. Since we are talking about the Antichrist, let's check out some of his characteristics. First one. Antichrist will gain great power by squashing others. Antichrist will rise to the power with his promise of a false peace and security. This guy is Prince Charming. He will gain a popularity from everybody. And he will promise the false peace and security. Third characteristic, he will be intelligent and persuasive and quite a diplomat. He's one of those guys who can put the square peg into the round hole. He can make it happen because he's good at it. He's lying through his teeth. Fourth characteristic, Antichrist will be under the complete control of Satan. Did I lose any of you guys so far? By the way, after the Exodus, we're going to study the book of Revelation on Sunday. Read ahead. And you're thinking, no, we still have 26 chapters in the book of Exodus. Yeah. Well, okay. It wouldn't hurt to read some. Fifth characteristic, he will be an utter adversary of Israel and bring Israel under his authority. First half of the Great Tribulation time, he was their savior. And from the second half, after the abomination of desolation, that happened in the Jerusalem temple, mm-hmm. he will show the, his true color. He will, Antichrist will rise in opposition to the prince of princes. Who would that be?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. With the help from the Satan. Seventh characteristic, he will be terminated by the judgment of our God. He will be cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I did not read the entire verse of verse 20. Then the beast was captured with him, the false prophet who worked the signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of beast and those who worshipped his image. And these two were cast into the lake of fire, burning with the brimstone. Whenever we study biblical prophecies, we must pay attention to the event timeline, whether it is for the immediate upcoming event, or sometimes down the road, or completely end time. Sometimes one prophecy can have a dual references. This is case in point. Not only talked about the Antiochus Epiphany, and also talks about the future end time prophecy. We can get that in context or cross references. In our last study, in chapter 7, no, I'm sorry, chapter 2, remember the stature King Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. Head of what? What kinds of material?
Gold.
Chest of silver. And thigh of bronze. And the last portion is the iron and the clay mixed together. And how many toes? 12 toes, right? 14 toes? Do I hear 16? Do I hear 18?
32.
32. Can I hear the 35?
75.
You're generous. Watching the movie too many times.
Okay, 10 toes. Yep. I mentioned also this. There are 27 countries in European Union.
Right?
And I said, how is that going to happen?
Get rid of them.
No. You don't need to. It's already existing.
The 27 city states.
27 states and 27 nations. But European Union already divided territory into 10 sections. Central Europe, Middle East Central, and Eastern, and Northeastern, Northern, and Northwestern, Southeastern and Southern and Southwestern and Western Europe. 10 sections, 10 regions. Do you think the Bible knows what it's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two applications for you guys. Number one, all the biblical prophecies that were supposed to happen happened. And we can have our confidence in the Lord and his word that the rest of the prophecy will also happen as just as it, they are described. Second application. From what happened according to the word of God, we don't have to be fearful of our unknown future since we know our all-knowing God. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.